بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. Okay, today this is our 15th session, reading from Lessons in Arabic Language, Book 1, Dr. Fa Abdul Rahim, Islamic University of Medina, Arabic Language Institute. Today, inshallah, we hope to, by the permission of Allah, complete the three exercises remaining from Part B of Lesson Number 9. And after that, inshallah, we're going to take the new lesson, Number 10, including the English key and vocabulary on page 25 and through 27, the Arabic text on pages 54 through 56, and hopefully, inshallah, the first exercise, Number 1, on page 56. So, we're going to start today with the exercises that remain from lesson number 9, part B, exercises 1, 2, and 3 on pages 51, 52, and 53. Okay, so before we do that, I want to quickly review the English key for lesson number 9, both parts, part A and B, on pages 21, 22, 23, and 24. And then after that, inshallah, we'll go to the exercises for part B. So, I want to review the English key for this lesson, just to make sure that everybody, yani, has fresh in their mind the rules and the grammatical points that are specific to this particular lesson. Okay, so I'm going to look at the English key, starting on page 21. And I'm going to summarize in this part A of Lesson 9, English Key. There are two points mentioned here. The first point is the main core grammatical rule of this lesson, and that is what is called the na'at and the man'ut. The na'at is the noun that qualifies another noun, the noun that qualifies, meaning the adjective. And the man'ut is the noun that is qualified, yani the noun that is described by the na'at. Okay, so these are very important terms that we should remember. The na'at is the adjective and the man'ut is the noun that it is qualifying or describing. Second point that I want to mention concerning this particular lesson and the grammatical points of this lesson is that in terms of the rules of the na'at and the man'ut, what we have to keep in mind is that unlike English, where the adjective precedes the noun, as when you say a new house. New is an adjective, it's preceding house, which is the word that is describing or qualifying. Okay, unlike English, in Arabic, the na'at, the adjective, follows the noun that it is qualifying. Okay, so in English, you say a new house. In Arabic, you say a house, and then you describe it as being new, a house that is new. So, in English, you say a new house. In Arabic, you say baytun jadidun. You mention the thing, and then you describe it. All right, so this is the first point related to the na'at and man'ut, that the na'at, the adjective, follows the word that it is qualifying. The second thing is that the na'at also follows or agrees with the man'ut in four matters. In this lesson, we're going to look only at three of them. Okay, four matters that the na'at has to agree with the man'ut. So when we say baytun, then we can look at four things that the na'at has to agree with it in. Baytun is masculine, so the na'at has to be masculine. Baytun is indefinite. It has tanween, so the na'at also has to be indefinite. And baytun is marfu'un with dhamma, marfu'un, yani nominative case, and therefore the na'at also has to be marfu'un. The other matter, the fourth matter, is in number, in adad, yani it being mufrad or muthanna or jam. It is singular, dual, or plural. We're not going to deal with that in this lesson. We're only going to deal with the first three points. That is, the na'at has to agree with the man'ut in gender, in being masculine or feminine. It has to agree with it in being definite or indefinite, and it has to agree with it in the case ending, in the i'rab of being marfu'un or majrurun, and so on. Okay, as far as the number being singular, dual, or plural, we're not going to see any reference to that in this particular lesson. We'll talk about that later on in the future. Okay, so this is the main thing that you need to know about the na'at and the man'ut. The na'at follows the word that is qualifying, and it also follows it in four matters, three of which we're going to look at in this lesson. That is, it follows it or agrees with it in gender, being masculine or feminine, and it agrees with it in being definite or indefinite, and it agrees with it in its case, being يعني مرفوعٌ ومجرورٌ ومنسوبٌ, taking dhamma, kasra, or fatha. Okay, so that's the summary of what we explained 2 weeks ago when we first introduced this lesson, and we talked about it last week again when we completed the exercises for the first half of this lesson, and so we're just reviewing it quickly. The second point that's mentioned in part A of the English key on page 21 is that adjectives ending in ana, fatha, alif, noon, yani extra letters, two extra letters, alif and noon being added to the end of the three root letters of a word. When you see a noun, an adjective, that has this extra ending, alif and noon, that are above and beyond the three root letters of the word, then this type of adjective is considered to be what is called in Arabic, mamnu' min as-sarf, yani, meaning it's prohibited from changing, making all of the changes that normal nouns make. Okay, so specifically, what we want to pay attention to here is that this type of noun, that's mamnu' min as-sarf, and we're talking specifically about one category of those nouns, of those adjectives, that is adjectives that have an extra two letters at the end, alif and noon. This type of word doesn't take tanween. So when you see the vowels at the end, you're not going to see tanween. You're going to see either a single dhamma or a single fatha. The second matter, and the reason why I say single dhamma or single fatha, is because this type of word also doesn't take kasra when it's majroor. When it is in the genitive case, it doesn't take kasra. So we're not going to see it making all of the changes that a normal noun makes. So they gave us examples of this. In this lesson, they gave us kaslanu. Yani the original root is kaf, seen, lam. And then we have yani an extra alif and noon added to the end. Same thing, jaw'anu, which means hungry. Jim, waw, ayn, with an extra alif and noon added. Atashanu, ayn, tashin, extra alif and noon added. Ghadabanu, ghain, dad, ba, with an extra alif and noon added. And mal'anu, mim, lam, hamza, with an extra alif and noon added to the end. Okay, so these are the two things that are mentioned in the first part of the English key on page 21. These two matters on 21 and 22. Yani the na'at and the man'ut, and the adjectives which end with the extra alif and noon, that they are mamnu' min as-sarf. They are diptotes, they don't take tanween, and if they are majroor, like following a preposition, then they also don't take kasra, but they take fatha instead in that particular situation. The second part of the English key is on page 23 and 24, and it actually continues with the matter of na'at and man'ut, and it says in this part, We also are going to be dealing with yani the adjective qualifying a definite noun. Yani when the man'ut is definite, then the adjective following it have to be definite. We already mentioned this in the first part of the lesson, but what is happening here is that we didn't see any examples of that in the first part of the lesson, but in the second part of the lesson, we will see examples of the man'ut being definite, having alif lam, for example, and therefore the na'at also has to be definite with alif lam. The new thing that came in the second part of this lesson is the relative pronoun. Al-ismu al-mawsool. The relative pronoun. Al-ladhi. Okay? Here we are seeing the masculine singular form of the relative pronoun. Al-ladhi. In the future we will see the feminine form. Al-lati. Al-ladhi is a relative pronoun. In Arabic it's called al-ism al-mawsool. It means who, if it is in reference to a person, and it means which, if it's in reference to a thing. For example, you say, الرَّجُلُ الَّذِي خَرَجَ مِنَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْآنَ تَاجِرٌ شَهِيرٌ. The رَجُلُ, الرَّجُلُ الَّذِي, the man who just came out of the masjid, he is a famous merchant. Or in reference to a thing, you say, الْبَيْتُ الَّذِي أَمَامَ الْمَسْجِدِ لِلْإِمَامِ. الْبَيْتُ الَّذِي, the house which is in front of the masjid belongs to the imam. So this word alladhi is used in reference to masculine singular things. We will see later on the feminine singular form allati. But if it's in, used in reference to a person, we say alladhi means the man who, for example, if it's in reference to a thing, inanimate thing, we say, for example, al-baytul ladhi means the house which. Okay, that's the new point in the second part of this lesson, part B. The next point that came in this part of the lesson is the preposition li. Yani, when the preposition li, which means for or belonging to, when it's used with a noun that begins with alif lam, the alif is omitted. So al-imam, with alif lam in the beginning, if we use li with it, we don't say li al-imam, we say lil-imam. Take out the alif and go directly to the lam, lil-imami. Okay? Al-mudarrisu lil-mudarrisi, not li al-mudarris. Okay, the last point that we had in this part of the lesson was inda. Inda means with. It's a dharf al-makan, an adverb of place. It shows the place or the position of something. In the same way we had previously, tahta means underneath, and amama means in front of, and khalfa means behind. So, inda means with, yani in the presence, with something, yani. Here, what we want to note is that the dharf al-makan, the adverb of place, the noun following it, is always going to be mudhafun ilayhi, majroor. It's going to take kasra as the primary sign of it being majroor. Okay, so the same way we said, tahta al-maktabi. Tahta al-maktabi. Al-maktab has to take kasra because it's mudhafun ilayhi majroor. Or we said, amama al-masjidi. So likewise we say, inda al-mudiri. Inda al-mudiri. Al-mudarrisu inda al-mudiri. The teacher is with the headmaster. Now we'll see in the next lesson that this inda has another meaning. We'll talk about that when we come to it. But for now, inda, we're looking at it as having the meaning of with, to be with someone. Inda. Okay, this is what we wanted to mention as far as the English key, part A and part B. I hope that everybody is looking at the vocabulary, reviewing and memorizing. And perhaps we'll just have a quick like review of some of the words from the first part of the English key on page 22. I'm just going to randomly give you some Arabic words, and I want you to try to translate them, yani quickly, okay? I'm going to just give you a few words randomly, and I want you to tell me the meanings of them. Okay, the first word is limada. Limada. What does it mean? It means why. Okay, the second word, al-lughatu. Al-lughatu. It means the language or language. The third word, al-fakihatu. Al-fakihatu. I don't want you to look the words up in the English key. I want you to just tell me the meanings from your memory. Al-fakihatu means fruit or the fruit. Sa'abun with sa'ad. Sa'abun means difficult. Difficult. Sahalun. Sahalun means easy. Al-kubu. Al-kubu means the cup. And the last word, mujtahidun. Mujtahidun means hardworking or diligent. Okay, these are just a few of the words that we had in the first part of this lesson. We had at least 2 weeks to learn them. I hope we have memorized all of them, or at least most. A couple more words from the second part of the lesson. I'm just going to randomly select a few words, and I want you to tell me the meanings in English. The first word, as-suqu, means the market, the marketplace. Al-mirwahatu. Al-mirwahatu means the fan. Yani the fan. When it's hot, you turn on the fan. Al-waziru. Al-waziru means the minister, like the minister in government, interior minister, foreign minister, like this. Al-maktabatu. Al-maktabatu means the library or the bookstore, as opposed to al-maktabu, without tarmabuta, means an office, the office or the desk. Okay, I'm going to let that suffice us. And this is just an intended to be a reminder to us of the importance of reviewing our vocabulary, memorizing the vocabulary as best as we can, and trying as best as we can to memorize all of the vocabulary. Okay, the exercises that remain in this lesson are from part B. And in this part of the lesson, we're going to see that the not, we're going to see examples of the not agreeing with the man'ut in being definite or indefinite with alif lam or tanween, and also in agreeing with it in being marfu'un, yani nominative case with dhamma, and majrurun, genitive case with kasra. And in this part of the lesson also we're going to see the ism mawsool alladhi, which means who or which, yani the one who or that which. Okay, let's go to the exercises that remain for lesson number 9 on page 51. Okay, there are three exercises remaining for this lesson. And with these exercises and a quick review of the vocabulary, at the end, we will complete this lesson number 9 and then go on to the new lesson for today. The new lesson for today, lesson 10. Okay, we're on page 51, lesson 9, part B. Exercise number 1. In the middle of the page, it says, Tamarinu. Yani, Tamarin is the plural of what? Tamrinun. Exercise. Tamarin means exercises. The first exercise, the instruction is, Iqra Waktub. Iqra Waktub. Yani, read and write. These are fi'l amr. Yani, imperatives or command form verbs. The command form. Iqra means read, from qara'a, to read. And uqtub means write, from kataba, to write. Okay, iqra, waqtub, read and write. So for this exercise, you expect it to read, which means read and translate. Okay, wherever it says read, it also means translate. And also you're supposed to write it out. And as I always say, it is better that you write out all of the exercises. All of the exercises, even if it doesn't say right, okay? So we're going to read, and we're going to also translate. If I pause a little bit, that's for you to read ahead of me a little bit, and for you to translate ahead of me, okay? So please try to stay with us, stay focused, and yani, be a step ahead of me, okay? Iqra waqtub. The first sentence says, At-tabibu الجديد في المستشفى والطبيب القديم في المستوصف في المستوصف. Okay, the translation of the meaning, الطبيب الجديد means the new طبيب, the new doctor. Notice here that new, the not, the adjective, is agreeing, it's following a tabib, the word that is qualifying, and it's also agreeing with it in three things that we said are required for the not to agree with the man'ut. It's agreeing with it, al-tabib is masculine, al-jadid is masculine. Al-tabib is definite with alif lam, and al-jadid is definite with alif lam. Al-tabib is marfu'un, the nominative case with dhamma, and al-jadid also is marfu'un in the nominative case with dhamma. So this is, we're going to see here now examples of words that are definite and words that are indefinite being qualified by a not that's going to have to agree with it in being definite or indefinite. In addition, we're going to see some nouns that are majrur with kasra, and we're going to see the not has to agree with it and be majrur as well, as what we saw in the first part of this lesson. We saw that the not has to agree with the man'ut in being masculine or feminine. Okay, let's finish the translation of this sentence. Al-tabibu al-jadidu, the new doctor, fil mustashfa, is in the hospital. Wal-tabibu al-qadimu, qadimu, and the old doctor, fil mustawsafi, is in the clinic. Yani al-mustawsaf, with sad, not seen. The first letter is seen. Mus, staw, saf. Saf is sad. Fatta, fa, kasra. Al-mustawsafi. So, the mustawsaf means a clinic or a small hospital. Okay, so again we see another Naat and Man'ut in the second part of this sentence. وَالطَّبِيبُ وَالْقَدِيمُ. And we see الطَّبِيبُ is masculine, الْقَدِيمُ is masculine. الطَّبِيبُ is definite with Alif Lam, الْقَدِيمُ is definite. الطَّبِيبُ is مَرْفُوعٌ with Dhamma, and الْقَدِيمُ is مَرْفُوعٌ with Dhamma. Let's go to the second sentence. Please read. الْقَلَمُ الْمَقْصُورُ على المكتب. القلم المقصور على المكتب. The meaning, القلم is the man'ut, and the word qualifying it or describing it, the adjective is المقصور. Okay, القلم المقصور, meaning the broken pen. Okay, because المقصور is qualifying the pen. What kind of pen? The broken pen. القلم المقصور على المكتب. The broken pen is on the maktab, on the desk or the table. Again, we see that the naat al-maksoor in this sentence, that's qualifying al-qalam, the naat is agreeing with it in being masculine and being definite with alif lam, and also in being marfoon with dhamma. Sentence number 3. Please read. Al-mirwahatu al-jadidatu في الغرفة الكبيرة. Okay, the meaning of this sentence, المروحة الجديدة. المروحة means the fan. What kind of fan? The new fan. في is in الغرفة الكبيرة. Is in the غرفة, the room. What kind of room? الكبيرة, the big room. The new fan is in the big room. And again, we see that there are two words here that are being qualified. Al-mirwahatu is the man'ut being described by al-jadida. Al-mirwaha is feminine. So al-jadida is also feminine with ta marbuta. Al-mirwaha is definite with alif lam. Al-jadid, definite alif lam. Al-mirwahatu has dhamma, it's marfu'un. Al-jadidatu has dhamma, it's marfu'un. In the second naat and man'ut, al-gurfati al-kabirati, we see al-gurfa is feminine, al-kabirati is feminine. Al-gurfa is definite, al-kabira is definite with alif lam. Al-gurfa is majroor with kasra, and therefore al-kabirati is also has to be majroor with kasra. So here we are seeing examples of the naat agreeing with the man'ut in being definite with alif lam, and also in agreeing with it in case, in i'rab, of being marfu'un with dhamma or majroor with kasra. Okay, so this is the core of this lesson, the naat and man'ut. In the first part of the lesson, we saw adjectives agreeing with the noun that is qualifying in being masculine or feminine only. In this part of the lesson, we're seeing two other factors, that is, being definite or indefinite with alif lam or tanween, and also being marfu'un with dhamma or majrurun with kasra in case ending or i'rab. Okay, the fourth matter we're not going to see in this lesson, that is, it also has to agree with it in number, in being singular, dual or plural. In this lesson, all of the man'ut are going to be singular, so all of the naat are automatically going to be singular. But in future lessons, we'll see that sometimes the man'ut could be dual, or it could be plural. Plural in Arabic is three or more. Dual means two, and plural means three or more. So we'll see that particular fourth factor, we'll see in the future. But for now, we're looking at three things, that it has to agree in gender with being masculine or feminine, and it has to also agree in being definite or indefinite, and it has to agree in being, yani, in case ending, in i'rab, of being, yani, marfu'un or majroorun. And as well, it could be mansoob, but in this lesson, we won't see words that are mansoob. Okay, let's go on to sentence number 4. Al-lughatu العربية سهلة. Huh? Meaning, اللغة means language. العربية means Arabic. So, the Arabic language is سهلة, is easy. The Arabic language is easy. Again, we have the منعوت اللغة, and we have the نات العربية. The نات is following al-lughatu in the sentence, and it also follows it, meaning agrees with it in terms of, yani, these three factors. Al-Lugha is definite with Alif Lam, so Al-Arabiya also has Alif Lam. Al-Lugha is feminine, ending with Ta Marbuta, and Al-Arabiyat is feminine with Ta Marbuta. And Al-Lughatu is Marfu'un with Dhamma, so Al-Arabiyatu is Marfu'un with Dhamma. By the way, the reason why Al-Lughatu is Marfu'un with Dhamma is because this is a Jumla Ismiya, which is always composed of two essential components, the Mubtada'u and the Khabaru. And the Mubtada is always Marfu'un. And the Khabar also is always Marfu'un. Just like in a Yani verbal sentence, al-jumla al-fi'liya, which is composed of a fi'l and a fa'il, and maybe a maf'ul and bi, the fa'il in the jumla fi'liya, verbal sentence, is always marfu'un. So these are three things that we know that are always marfu'un. The mubtada is always marfu'un, the khabar is always marfu'un, and the fa'il in a verbal sentence, the fa'il, the doer of the action of the verb, is always marfu'un. The primary sign of a word being marfu'un is dhamma. Okay, let's go on to, this sentence, let me just look at it a little bit more. Yani, al-lughatu is the mubtada'u, so it's marfu'un. Al-arabiyya is a not, it has to agree with it in being marfu'un. And sahalatun is the khabar, is what you want to say about the mubtada, the khabar. And so, the khabar is also always marfu'un. Sentence number 5, we're on page 51, lesson 9, part B. First exercise, sentence number 5, bottom of the page 51. Al-waladu al-tawilu al-ladhi kharaja min al-fasli al-ana talibun min al-hindi. Okay, here this is a very long sentence, but what we find here is the second matter in the second part of this, the English key of the second part of this lesson, that is the ism, the relative pronoun, al-ismu al-mawsool, the relative pronoun. Okay, so what is a relative pronoun? Just to remind us, we talked about it last week. The relative pronoun is a noun which tells us, and introduces a clause called the relative clause. And that relative clause tells us something about the mubtada, gives us more information. It's not a not, but it's a clause. It's a series of words that tells us something else about the mubtada. Okay, so the relative clause, which is called in Arabic, silatul mawsool, the relative clause is introduced by a relative pronoun. For masculine, if the thing is masculine, it's going to be alladhi. We'll see later on if it's feminine, it's going to be allati. Okay, and there are also other considerations. It could be dual, it could be plural, and so on. But for now, we're just going to see the singular, masculine, alladhi. And next, yani the next thing we're going to learn about this will be the feminine singular, allati. Okay, so this is a relative pronoun, alladhi, and the words that follow it are the relative clause, yani the information that tells us more about the mubtada. Okay, the mubtada is al-waladu. It has a not describing it as at-tawilu, but we want to give more information. So when we say al-waladu at-tawilu, the tall walad, the tall boy, I want to tell you more about which tall boy. There might be more than one tall boy. So I want to say the tall boy who, alladhi kharaja min al-fasli al-ana, who came out of the classroom just now. Which tall boy? The one who just came out of the classroom. Okay, so al-walad is the mubtada, al-tawil is the not describing it. And al-ladhi, kharaja min al-fasli al-ana, is the relative pronoun and the relative clause. Alright, so this is just more information about the mubtada. So if we want to translate this sentence, then we'll translate it by saying al-waladu al-tawilu, yani the tall boy, al-ladhi, who, kharaja, went out, min al-fasli, from the classroom, al-ana, just now. What about this tall boy who just came out of the classroom? He is a talibun min al-hindi. He is a student from India. The tall boy who just came out of the classroom is a student from India. So now, if we look at this sentence, the main part of the sentence is the mubtada and the khabar. The mubtada is al-waladu. The khabar is talibun. That is sufficient to make a sentence, the mubtada and the khabar. The boy, al-walad, the boy is a talibun, is a student. But now we want to add more information for clarity. So we say al-waladu al-tawilu, the tall boy is a student. We want to add more information. The tall boy who just came out of the classroom is a student. And then we added some more words, yani a preposition, and the object of the preposition, min al-hindi, is a student from India. This is a very long sentence. It's composed of a number of parts. The most important thing is to know that it is what? It's a jumla ismiya, a nominal sentence, and it has to have two essential parts. That is the mubtada and the khabar. In this sentence, al-waladu is the mubtada and talibun is the khabar. Okay, at-tawil is a not describing al-walad. And min al-hind is a, yani, harf jar, an ism majroor, yani a preposition and the object of the preposition, which tells us something more as well about the talibun. What about this talibun? A talibun, a student from India. Okay, it also contains the relative pronoun al-ladhi and the relative clause kharaja min al-fasli al-ana, which just gives us more information about the mubtada. Okay, in reference to the not and man'ut, what is in this sentence is relatively simple. Al-waladu at-tawilu. At-tawilu is the not describing al-walad. Al-walad is masculine. At-tawil is the same. Al-walad is definite with alif lam. At-tawil is also definite. Al-waladu is marfu'un. And therefore, at-tawilu is also marfu'un. This is a long sentence and it contains not and man'ut. It contains the relative pronoun and the relative clause. It also contains the preposition and the object of a preposition. So there's a lot of stuff happening here. The two new things in this sentence are the not and man'ut and the relative pronoun and the relative clause. Okay, let's turn the page to page 52. And again, yani, these sentences, I hope you already yani have looked at them, examined them, studied them, read them, translated them, and written them out for homework last week. Okay, so right now what we're doing, we're just going through it quickly, or maybe not quickly, but we're just going through it to make sure that you have written everything out correctly, you have translated correctly, and that you understood the grammatical functions of each word in the sentence. Okay, we're still on exercise number 1, on page 52, sentence number 6 at the top of the page. Sentence number 6 at the top of the page. The sentence reads, Ana fil madrasati al-thanawiyyati. Ana fil madrasati al-thanawiyyati. Okay, this is a jumla ismiya. What is a jumla ismiya? A nominal sentence. It's a sentence that begins with a noun. Jumla ismiya begins with a ism, and it should have yani a mubtada, and it should have a khabar. Okay, ana fil madrasati al-thanawiyyati. I am in al-madrasa, the school. What kind of school? Al-thanawiyya, high school. Al-thanawiyya. I am in the high school. I am in high school. What is important in terms of not and man'ut in this sentence? Is al-madrasati is the man'ut, the word that's being qualified. Al-thanawiyyati is the not, the adjective that's qualifying al-madrasati. So we have to look at the three things, because the fourth one, the number, we're not looking at in this sentence, so we're only looking at three things. We're looking at it being masculine or feminine, definite or indefinite, and the case ending being marfu'un or majroor. So we see that al-madrasatu is feminine with tamrabuta, and likewise al-thanawiyya. Al-madrasatu is definite with alif lam, and likewise al-thanawiyya. And al-madrasati, yani, is majroor with kasra, and likewise al-thanawiyyati is majroor with kasra. Okay, so here we have two new factors in the examples that we are seeing in the second part of the lesson. We see the not agreeing with the man'ut and being definite with alif lam, and we see it also agreeing with it in case ending, in its i'rab, as being majroor with kasra. Sentence number 7. By the way, this sentence is a jumla fi'liya. It begins with a fi'l. It's a verbal sentence because it begins with a verb, right? So there's going to be a verb, and then there's also going to be a fa'il, the subject, doer of the action of the verb. And the fa'il, we said, is always marfu'un. Okay? Dhahaba is the fa'il, ar-rajulu is the fa'il, al-faqiru is the not, describing what type of rajul, and ilal-waziri is the preposition and the object of the preposition. Harf ja and ism majroor. Okay, so let's look at this sentence, especially looking at the naat and the man'oot, and also yani in how they agree, okay? And the translation. Dhahaba ar-rajulu al-faqiru ila al-waziri. Dhahaba ar-rajulu al-faqiru ila al-waziri. Okay, dhahaba, he went. Who went? Yani ar-rajulu al-faqiru. Who went? The man who is faqir, the poor man, went ila al-waziri, to the minister. Yani the minister in the government. Maybe the minister that's in charge of finance, the finance minister, right? He's poor, maybe he's looking for some zakat. Okay, ذهب is the fi'l, الرجل is the fa'il, it's مرفوع والضمة. الفقير is the نعت, and it's agreeing with الرجل in being masculine, and being definite with alif lam, and being مرفوع with ضمة. Sentence number 8. Another جملة فعلية, beginning with a fi'l. A verbal sentence beginning with a verb. There's going to be a fi'l, and there's also going to be a fa'il, and the fa'il is always مرفوعٌ. جلسَ is the fi'l, الطالبُ is the fa'il, الجديدُ is the نعت, qualifying الطالبُ. خلفَ is the ظرف المكان, an adverb of place. And remember we said the adverb of place is always followed by a noun that's going to be مُضَافٌ إِلَيْهِ مَجْرُورٌ. مُضَافٌ إِلَيْهِ. Remember we had idafa in lesson 5, and then we had adverbs also, several adverbs after that. And the rule about adverbs is that the noun following it is always going to be mudafun ilayhi majroor. It's going to be having the relationship of idafa. The second word, the mudaf ilayhi, is always going to be majroor. The sign that it's majroor is kasra. So we see that after khalfa, we have hamidin, majroor with kasra. Okay? So in this sentence we have the fi'l, jalasa, we have the fa'il, al-talibu, we have the na'at, al-jadidu, and then we have the adverb of place, dharf, al-makan, khalfa. And the dharf, basically, the general rule for the dharf is that it's mansub with fatha. The word that's follow it is going to be mudafun ilay, majroor with kasra. The dharf is, the general rule for dharf is that it's going to be mansub with fatha. And the word that follows it, mudafun ilayh, is going to be majroor with kasra, either single kasra or double kasra. Okay, so let's look at this sentence in terms of the na'at and the man'oot, and let's translate it. Jalasa at-talibu, yani the student sat. What kind of student? Al-jadidu, the new student. Sat khalfa hamidin. He sat behind hamidin. Yani the opposite of behind is what? In front of. We had that adverb before, right? Amama. Amama. Khalfa, behind. Amama, in front of. Jalasa, al-talibu al-jadidu. The new student sat khalfa hamidin, behind hamid. Okay, in terms of na'at and man'oot in the sentence, al-talibu is the man'oot, and al-jadidu is the na'at. So al-jadid is in agreement with al-talibu in being masculine, in being definite with alif lam, and being marfu'un with dhamma. Okay, let's go on to the next sentence, number 9. As-sikkinu al-kabiru hadun jiddan. As-sikkinu, with shaddu on the seen and shaddu on the calf. As-sikkinu al-kabiru حَادٌ جِدًّا. السِّكِّين, the knife. The knot is الْكَبِيرُ, the big knife is حَادٌ, sharp. جِدًّا, very sharp. حَادٌ جِدًّا, very sharp. Okay, again in this sentence, the big knife is very sharp. We have a knot and a man'oot. السِّكِّينُ is the man'oot. الْكَبِيرُ is the knot. And it's agreeing. السِّكِّين is masculine. Kabir is masculine. As-sakeen is definite with alif lam. Al-kabir is definite alif lam. As-sakeen is marfoon with dhamma. And al-kabir is marfoon with dhamma. Going to number 10. Last sentence of this exercise. Man hadha al-waladu as-saghiru. Answer. Huwa abnu al-mudarrisi al-jadidi. Man hadha al-waladu as-saghiru. Who is this Walad al-Saghir? Who is this small boy? هو, he is ابن المدرسي, he is the son of the teacher, الجديدي, the new teacher. Okay, we have two. Who is this small boy? He is the son of the new teacher. We have two, نعت and منعود, in these two sentences. من means who. This is a question word that we had back in lesson number one, right? We had من for who and ما for what. Okay, من هذا الولد الصغير? Who is this small boy? الولد is the منعوت, and الصغير is the نعت, and we see that it agrees with the منعوت in being masculine and being definite with ألف لام and being مرفون with ضمة. The answer, هو ابن المدرس الجديد. He is the son of the teacher. ابن المدرس is the إضافة construction. So we have ابن المدرس, يعني المدرس is the second part of the إضافة construction. So it's مضاف إليه مجرور. المدرس is مجرور because what? Because it is the second part of the إضافة construction, the son of the teacher. So المدرس is مضاف إليه مجرور. The sign that is مجرور is كسرة. And الجديد is a not describing المدرس, and we see that it agrees with it in being definite, it agrees with it in being مجرور. And also from the first part of this lesson we had what? That it has to agree with it in being masculine or feminine. So it is masculine like المدرس. Okay, this exercise here, these 10 sentences are very, very important. I hope when you did them, yani the rule was clear to you and you were able to do them correctly and you were able to translate them correctly. And I also advise, yani, that if there's any difficulty in this matter, that you go back and read the English key. And that's the reason why I reviewed it in the beginning of the lesson, to make sure that it is clear in our mind what is the rule of نعت and منعوت, so that when we do these exercises, you will benefit from them, yani, completely, if you understand the rule. So please, if there's any difficulty, go back and review the English key for نعت and منعوت as you, yani, go through these exercises if you have any difficulty. Okay, let's go to the next exercise. Exercise number 2 on page 52. This is a continuation of the grammatical point, the main grammatical point of this lesson, that is the نعت and the منعوت. So what we're going to do here, the instruction says املا, fill in. في الفراغ, in the empty space or in the blanks. في ما يلي, in what follows. What are we going to put in the blank space and what follows? Fill it in with بالنعت, with a نعت, an adjective. الذي, or the adjective. الذي, which, the adjective. الذي here is the relative pronoun. Since it's in reference to the نعت is not a person, so we're going to use the translation of the word which instead of who. The نعت, which, بين is between قوسين, the two, yani parenthesis, between the parenthesis. بعد, after, yani fill in the blank space in what follows with the نعت, which is between the parenthesis. Okay, so at the end of each line we're going to see a word between قوسين, between the parenthesis. We have to use that word and make it the نعت for the word they gave us in the sentence. Okay, but you have to do something else here. Not only you have to use that word, it says بعد تحليته, after, يعني تحلية means يعني putting the ألف لام onto the word, adding ألف لام to the word. After adding ألف لام to the word, تحليته بألف لام, يعني after adorning it or dressing it up with ألف لام. عند اللزوم, يعني whenever it is, يعني لازم. عند اللزوم means when it is necessary. So, what is the meaning of this instruction? Fill in the blank spaces in what follows by putting the نعت, which is at the end of the sentence between the parenthesis, by filling in the blank space with the نعت that's given to you there, but after, يعني, using ألف لام on that نعت when it is necessary. So, if the منعوت has ألف لام, then you have to add ألف لام to the word they gave us at the end of the sentence. Then the word that they gave us to be the نعت, you have to add ألف لام. If the word that they gave us in the sentence is indefinite without ألف لام, then we're not going to add ألف لام to the نعت, right? Because the نعت has to agree with the منعوت in being definite or indefinite. So if we already see that the word they gave us has ألف لام, then the نعت in the parenthesis, we're going to add ألف لام to it. If the word they gave us in the original sentence does not have alif lam and it's not definite, then we're not going to add alif lam. We're going to leave that word just as it is with tanween without alif lam. Okay? So let's look at the first sentence on page 52, exercise number 2. Ain al mudarrisu. What is intended by this sentence is where is the new teacher? Aina al-mudarrisu. We want to use the naat they gave us, which is jadidun, but al-mudarrisu has alif lam. Therefore, we have to add alif lam to the word they gave us in parenthesis. Jadidun, we have to make it, yani al-jadidu. Okay, I'm not normally looking at the screen when we're doing these live classes to answer questions. I don't normally look at the screen. I'm sorry about that. But I see that there's a question here. Somebody is asking, where can I get the PDFs? Okay, you can get the PDFs. If you look up further up on some of the messages that came earlier, you can see there's an address there, mab93044@gmail.com. mab93044@gmail.com. If you send us a request to that email address, inshallah, we'll send you any of the materials that you need for this course. And then I see there's a second question by somebody who's joined us newly. It says, somebody's saying this is my first class. Okay, so maybe they don't know where to get the PDFs. In any case, we'll send you the PDF if you send us a request by email to mab93044@gmail.com. It will be difficult for me to send it right now, but in any case, Annie, for the future, if you'd like to join us, inshallah, just send us a request and we'll send you the PDF for this class. We're reading from the Medina, book 1, from the Medina Arabic Language Institute series, book 1, lesson 9, the second part of the lesson, and right now we're doing Annie exercise number 2. Okay, exercise number 2. Okay, again, so we looked at the first sentence. The first sentence says, Ain al mudarrisu. We have to add the not that they gave us. When it requires alif lam, we're going to add alif lam. When it doesn't, we're going to leave it with just tanween. Okay, so in this case, the man'ut al mudarrisu, the word that's being qualified, has alif lam. Therefore, we're going to add alif lam to the word jadidun. We're going to make it al jadidu. Okay, so the sentence became, or the question became, Ain al mudarrisu al jadidu. So al jadidu is the not, it's in agreement with al mudarris in being definite with alif lam and being marfu'un with dhamma and also being masculine because mudarris is masculine. Let's look at the second sentence. At tajiru blank fissuqi. So what we want to say here is At-tajiru, we want to use the not kabir, but at-tajiru has alif lam, so we should have added alif lam to kabirun and made it al-kabiru. So the sentence became at-tajiru al-kabiru fis-suqi, meaning the tajir, the merchant, the big merchant is in the suq, is in the marketplace. Again, al-kabiru has to have alif lam because at-tajiru has alif lam, and it also has to agree with it in being masculine and being marfu'un with dhamma. Sentence number 3. Ana talibun, and they gave us the nat qadimun. So, talibun does not have alif lam. It's indefinite with tanween, and therefore we can take qadimun just as it is without adding alif lam. No need, there's no need to add alif lam here, right? Because the nat has to agree with the man'ut. The man'ut here is indefinite with tanween. Therefore, qadimun is going to be indefinite with tanween. Ana talibun qadimun. I am a, what kind of student? Qadimun, an old student. Number four. Jalasa at-talibu al-jadid. Okay, they gave us the nat. Jadidun. But here we see that the man'ut at-talibu has alif lam. So we're going to add alif lam to jadidun and make it al-jadidu. So the sentence will read, Jalasa at-talibu al-jadidu khalfa Muhammadin. Khalfa Muhammadin. Meaning, Jalasa, he sat. Who sat? At-talibu al-jadidu. The new student sat khalfa behind Muhammadin, behind Muhammad. Again, khalfa is an adverb of place, dharf al-makan. And the noun that follows it is always going to be mudhafun ilayhi majrur. So Muhammadin is majrur because it is what? Mudhafun ilayhi. Yani it's connected in idafat khalfa. Jalasa is the fi'l. At-talibu is the fa'il, the subject, doer of the action of the verb. And jadidu is a not describing. At-talibu, it agrees with it in being definite with alif lam and being marfu and with dhamma and being masculine. Sentence number 5. Man al-waladu, they gave us the not, tawilun, but al-walad has alif lam, so we're going to add alif lam to tawilun and make it at-tawilu. Man al-waladu tawilu, alladhi kharaja al-ana min al-fasli. Yani men we had before, remember? Men means who, ma means what? Man al-waladu. Notice that man, which originally ends with sukoon, when it's followed by a word that yani has a sukoon also like alif lam, yani hamzatul wasl, when it's followed by hamzatul wasl, particularly alif lam in this particular case, we're going to have to eliminate the two letters with sukoon coming back to back. Yani iltiqa sakinain, two letters with sukoon coming back to back. So we're going to add kasra to min. Okay, men, whenever it's followed by alif lam, alif lam, you're going to add kasra to the noon. Yani you're going to remove the sukoon and add kasra. As opposed to the word min, yani from, it also ends with noon, with sukoon, but in that case with min we're going to add fatha. So it's the opposite. The word that has fatha, men, we're going to add kasra to the noon. The word that has kasra, min, we're going to add fatha, the opposite letter. Alright? So here we're going to say, men became man al-waladu al-tawilu alladhi kharaj al-ana min al-fasli. The meaning of this sentence, who is the walad al-tawil, the tall student, alladhi, who kharaj al-ana, went out just now, min al-fasli. So again, the word they gave us, tawilun, we had to add alif lam because the man'ut al-waladu has alif lam. Sentence number 6. Sentence number 6. Ammarun waladun. They gave us qasirun. Do we have to have alif lam? No alif lam because waladun, the man'ut, I mean, waladun doesn't have alif lam, so we can leave it just as it is. Ammarun waladun qasirun. Yani Ammar is a walad qasir. Qasir means the opposite of tawil, short. Ammar is a short boy. Okay, qasirun is in agreement with waladun in being masculine, and being marfu'un with dhamma, and being indefinite with tanween. Number 7. Faisalun tabibun shahirun. Faisalun, Faisal, that's a man's name. He is a tabib. What kind of tabib? Shahirun, a famous doctor. Faisalun is a famous doctor. Faisalun, tabibun, shahirun. Again, tabibun is the man'ut, and shahirun is the not. It agrees with it in being masculine, in being indefinite with tanween, and being marfu'un with dhamma. Number 8. Liman hadha sariru maksurun. They gave us maksurun, but as-sarir has alif lam, so we're going to add alif lam to maksurun and make it al-maksuru. Al-maksuru. The meaning of the sentence, liman, to whom belongs hadha sariru, this bed, al-maksuru, al-maksuru, this broken bed. To whom belongs this broken bed? Again, the word here that we want to look at, the man'ut is as-sariru. It is masculine, marfu'un with dhamma, and yani definite with alif lam. So al-maksurun also has to be masculine and marfu'un with dhamma and definite with alif lam. Number 9. Hada qalamun maksurun. Again, they gave us the same word maksur, but here the man'ut is indefinite with tanween, so no need to add alif lam. So we leave maksurun indefinite with tanween. Hada qalamun maksurun. Yani this is a broken pen. This is a broken pen. Again, qalamun is masculine, marfu'un with dhamma, an indefinite with tanween. So maksurun also is going to be masculine, yani marfuun with dhamma, and indefinite with tanween. Number 10. Ayna sikkinu al-hadu. Yani they gave us the word hadun, but as-sikkinu is definite with alif lam, so we have to add alif lam here to hadun, making it al-hadu with a single vowel because we added alif lam. Ayna sikkinu al-hadu. Where is the sikkin, the knife? What kind of knife? Al-hadu, the sharp knife. Okay, as-sikkin is masculine. Al-hadu is masculine. As-sikkin is definite. Al-hadu is definite with alif lam. As-sikkinu is marfu'un with dhamma. Al-hadu is marfu'un with dhamma. There's one more sentence remaining on the following page 53. Page 53 at the top of the page, sentence number 11. It says, لِمَنْ هَذِهِ السَّيَّارَةُ, and they gave us جَمِيلَةٌ. جَمِيلَةٌ. السَّيَّارَةُ has alif lam, so we're going to add alif lam to جَمِيلَةٌ, making it الْجَمِيلَةُ. لِمَنْ هَذِهِ السَّيَّارَةُ الْجَمِيلَةُ. To whom belongs this سَيَّارَة? This يعني سَيَّارَة, this car, الْجَمِيلَة, beautiful, this beautiful car. To whom belongs this beautiful car? As-sayara is the man'ut, and al-jamila is the not. So al-jamila agrees with it in being definite with alif lam, in being marfu'un with dhamma, and in being feminine with ta marbuta. As-sayara is feminine, al-jamila must also be feminine. Okay, this is a very beneficial exercise. I hope we paid careful attention to it. Primarily, it was focusing upon paying attention to making sure that the not agrees with the man'ut in being definite or indefinite. Okay? Because they gave us indefinite words and they told us you have to add alif lam when necessary. When is it necessary? When the man'ut is definite, then you have to also make the not definite. Okay? But also we saw in here some cases in which the man'ut was majroor, in which case we had to make the not majroor. Or did we have any cases like that? Maybe they were all marfu'un. No, they were all marfu'un. Okay. So we didn't see the case ending, but we saw that in the previous exercise, and we also saw here just a few cases of agreement in masculine and feminine. Most of the man'ut here were masculine, but we see here this last one at least was feminine. Okay, so these are the three things that we have to pay attention to in reference to not and man'ut. That is, number one, that the not agrees with the man'ut in gender, in being masculine or feminine. Tathkir wa ta'anith. And being mudhakkarun or mu'annathun. The second thing, that it has to agree with it in being definite or indefinite. At-tankiru wa ta'arifu. Yani being nakira or ma'arifa. And the third thing that it has to agree with is in the case ending. The case, yani it's i'rab, being marfu'un or majrurun or mansubun, yani with dhamma, kasra, fatha. So these are the three things. The number, singular, dual, or plural, we'll see in the future. The last thing, or the last exercise, is dealing with the relative pronoun, alladhi. And remember, we said the relative pronoun is a pronoun that is going to introduce a clause, the relative clause, which tells us information about the mubtada. So when you see the mubtada, you're going to see some, yani if you see alladhi, if it's a person, you're going to say who. If it's a thing, you're going to say which. At-talibu alladhi, the student who. Al-kitabu alladhi, the book which. Okay? You're going to translate as who or which, depending on if the mubtada is a human being or inanimate thing. The second thing is that the relative pronoun is introducing a relative clause. So after is going to come a series of words that's just going to tell us more information about the mubtada. And then after that, we're going to see the khabar as well. Okay? So there's a mubtada and a khabar, and then this is just extra information, the relative pronoun and the relative clause. Now, so let's look at this. Final exercise number 3 for lesson 9, part B, page 53. It's dealing with the relative pronoun, the relative clause. The relative pronoun in Arabic is called al-ismu al-mawsulu, and the relative clause is called sillatu al-mawsool. Sillatu with shadda on the lam and ta marbuta. Sillatu, that's ta marbuta, al-mawsool. Al-ismu al-mawsool and sillatu al-mawsool. Al-ismu al-mawsool is the relative pronoun. Sillatu al-mawsool is the relative clause. Yani the words that follow the pronoun al-ladhi. Okay, five sentences here. The first sentence. At-talibu al-ladhi kharaja min al-fasli al-ana min Indonesia. At-talibu is the mubtada. And min Indonesia is the khabar. So that's the a complete sentence by itself. The student is from Indonesia. But I want more information about which student. So I said the one who kharaja min al-fasli al-ana. The one who went out of the classroom just now. Okay, that's the relative pronoun, relative clause. The mubtada, the essential parts of the sentence, are at-talibu, that's the mubtada, and min Indonesia, that's the khabar. The student is from Indonesia. But I don't know which student, so here I give more information. Alladhi kharaja min al-fasli al-ana, who just came out or went out of the classroom. That student, he is the one who is from Indonesia. Alright, let's look at the second sentence. الكتاب الذي على المكتب للمدرس. In this sentence, the mubtada is what? الكتاب. And the khabar is at the end. للمدرس. So that's a complete sentence by itself, without the extra information. الكتاب للمدرس. That's mubtada and khabar. That's a complete sentence. The book belongs to the teacher. That's a sentence. But if I want to give extra information, I can use the relative pronoun, the book, which, the one which, is على المكتب, is on the desk. The book is belongs to the teacher. Which book? الذي على المكتب, the one which is on the desk. The book which is on the desk belongs to the teacher. Third sentence. لمن هذا القلم الجميل الذي على المكتب. لمن, to whom belongs هذا القلم, this pen, الجميل, this beautiful pen. Which beautiful pen? الذي على المكتب, the one which is on the maktab, on the desk or on the table. To whom belongs the beautiful pen which is on the desk? Okay, number four. البيت الكبير الذي في ذلك الشارع للوزير. Okay, the meaning of this sentence, البيت الكبير, the big house, الذي which is في in ذلك الشارع, in that street, للوزير, belongs to the wazir. Okay, the essential part of the sentence is البيت, that's the مبتدأ, and للوزير, that's the خبر. Al-baytu lil-waziri. The house belongs to the wazir. Now I want some more information, so I use the not here. Al-baytu al-kabiru. The big house belongs to the wazir. But maybe there's more than one big house, so I want to bring more information, so I use the relative pronoun and the relative clause. Al-ladhi fi dhalika shari. The one which is in that street. The big house which is in that street belongs to the minister. So in this sentence we have a naat and a man'oot, right? Al-kabir is the naat and al-bayt is the man'oot. And then we also have the relative pronoun and relative clause, al-ladhi fi dhalika shari' lil-waziri. Number five. As-sariru al-ladhi fi ghurfati khalidin maksurun. Again, in this sentence the essential parts are the mubtada and the khabar. As-sariru is the mubtada and maksurun is the khabar. And this is a complete sentence by itself. As-sariru maksurun. The bed is broken. That's a sentence. But if I want to explain, give more information about which bed, then I said the one which is in the room of Khalid. Alladhi, which, fi ghurfati, is in the room of Khalidin, in the room of Khalid, or in Khalid's room. The bed which is in the room of Khalid is maksurun, broken. Again, the relative pronoun and the relative clause is actually just extra information. You can actually do without it. But But if you want to clarify and bring more information, you can use a relative clause and a relative pronoun that introduces a relative clause which tells you more about the mubtada. But essentially, yani what is essential for the sentence is the mubtada and the khabar. The rest of that, relative pronoun, relative clause, not, and other things like that are just extra information. This is also yani a beneficial exercise. It's giving us 5 examples of the relative pronoun and the relative clause. Relative pronoun and the relative clause. So, what is the relative pronoun? Yani it's a pronoun that introduces a relative clause. What is a relative clause? It's extra information about the mubtada. It's extra information, yani telling us, giving us a description or additional information about the mubtada. It's not essential to the sentence, but it helps give clarification to what we are talking about here, that is the mubtada. Okay, underneath this we just have a box giving us the expressions that are the primary subject of this lesson, that is baytun jadidun. Baytun is the man'ut, the word that's being described or qualified, and jadidun is the not, the qualifying word or the adjective. So it's showing us that the not is going to follow the man'ut in the sentence, and it's also, it has to agree with it in being definite or indefinite, in being marfu'un or majrurun or mansubun, and also in being what? Yani masculine or feminine. Being masculine or feminine. So we see baytun is masculine, jadidun is masculine. Baytun is marfu'un with dhamma, jadidun is marfu'un with dhamma. Baytun is indefinite with tanween, and therefore yani jadidun is indefinite with tanween. We could have given another example yani that shows the agreement between not and man'ut, where the man'ut is definite, and where the man'ut is majroor, and where the man'ut is feminine. So we can show the agreement in those areas, in the opposite areas, right? So for example, we could have given the sentence, yani at-ta'iru ala, I'm going to leave that part out, but just to make a complete sentence, at-ta'iru, the bird is ala on ash-shajarati, ala ash-shajarati al-kabirati. Yani ash-shajarati became majroor because of ala, the bird is on the big tree. So here we see al-shajarati al-kabirati. Al-kabirati is the not. It's feminine with tarmabuta like al-shajarati. And it is majroor with kasra like al-shajarati. And it's definite with alif lam like al-shajarati. So here we see that the not is in agreement with the man'ut and being feminine and being definite and being majroor. Okay, so this is yani the core of this lesson, the not and man'ut. And then at the end of the lesson we have al-kalimat al-jadida, al-kalimatu al-jadidatu, yani the new words. And you should know these words by now, just to read the Arabic and you tell me the meanings. Al-mattabatu. Al-mattabatu means yani the library or bookstore, as opposed to al-maktabu without ta marbuta, means office or desk. Al-ana with fatha means yani right now, just now. Yani this is maf'ulun fi or dharf az-zaman. It's an adverb that indicates time when something is happening. Al-mirwahatu means the fan that you turn on when it gets hot. Al-mustawsafu means a small hospital or a clinic. Al-madrasatu, al-thanawiyyatu means the secondary school or high school. Al-waziru means the minister, like in government. Shahirun, yani means famous, like mashhur, same meaning. Hadun with shadda on the del means yani sharp. Yani the opposite of kalil, yani kaf, lam, ya, lam. Kalil. Kalil means dull. Ka, not kha, not qa, ka. Kalilun. Kalilun means dull, the opposite of hadun. It's not one of our vocabulary words, just yani as a note. Okay, so this is the end of this lesson, alhamdulillah. It took us the whole period of time, just about. So yani we won't be able to do much of lesson 10 today, but in any case, the point is not how fast we can get through the lessons, but rather how well we can comprehend the lesson and yani benefit therefrom. So we still have some time left. because we have until 3:15. So in the time that's remaining, let's look at lesson number 10. Let's take a look at it, at least at the English key. And then for homework, inshallah, you should review carefully the English key for lesson 10 on page 25 and 26 and 27, along with its vocabulary on page 27. And then likewise, you should go to the Arabic text at the beginning of this lesson 10 on page 54 and 55, and a little bit on the top of page 56, and as well, the first exercise, at least the first exercise, number one, on page 56, and perhaps, since we're going to be doing this lesson new next week, and you have a whole week to do this, and we already should have read this English key and dialogue for homework last week, so we're going to give you the English key for lesson 10, the dialogue for lesson 10, and exercises at least 1, 2, and 3. At least 1, 2, and 3. Okay? And then, inshallah, in the following session, or in the following week, inshallah, we'll try to look at the remaining exercises for lesson number 10. Okay, so for this week, inshallah, please, try to come prepared next week by having read the English key, the Arabic text, and the first few three exercises for lesson number 10. Right now, inshallah, what we're going to do is we're going to look at the English key on page 25, 26, and 27. Okay, this particular lesson, number 10, somebody wrote me last week when we had this for homework and said that it looks like it might be a little bit difficult. So, what I want to say here is that it's not really that difficult. If you're doing this book, one for the first time, yes, it looks like a lot of stuff. There are 9 points mentioned in the English key. That's a lot, yeah. But some of these points are very simple points. They're not really that difficult. And some of them are related to one another. So if you can understand the relation between those that are related, that will help you. And also, if you can realize that some of these points are really, really simple points. Yani, for example, point number 8 is just that the preposition ba with kasra, b, it's a preposition. It means at or in. That's it. That's all it is. It's just a new word. It's a preposition. It works like any other preposition. So there's not much to that. Point number 10 gives us ma. We had ma before, like in lesson 1, ma hadha. Now they're telling us that ma sometimes is also used as a negative particle. Like a person may say, I don't have a car. Ma indi sayara. So that's not really complicated. It's just that ma has another meaning as opposed to what ma hadha. It also means negation. I don't have something, for example. Or I didn't do something, okay? So that's not really complicated. Also, we have point number 7, ma'a, which means with. And we're going to contrast ma'a with enda that we had already. We're going to talk about that in this lesson. I want to compare ma'a with enda so that it will be clear. We also have in this lesson point number 6. I'm just quickly going through some of the points to show you that it's not really that difficult. Point number 6 is dealing with words that are mamnu' min as-sarf. We already said before that feminine proper nouns, like Aishatu and Maryamu and Khadijatu, that these feminine proper nouns are mamnu' min as-sarf. They don't take tanween. So now we're saying that masculine proper nouns that end with tarmabuta, which have the feminine ending of tarmabuta, even though they are men's names, like Hamzatu and Usamatu and Muawiyatu, those masculine proper nouns that end with tarmabuta, they are also mamnu' min as-sarf. They don't take tanween. Okay, that's not too complicated. Point number 5 is just taking us through more forms of the conjugation of the past tense verb. We had dhahaba before. Now in this lesson we're going to take dhahabta, which means anta dhahabta, you, masculine singular, and dhahabtu, I went, masculine and feminine singular first person, dhahabtu, which is 2 forms of the past tense verb. Okay, so in each lesson we're going to be taking different forms of the past tense verb. Also, point number 4 is the preposition li. They're going to tell us when we connect it to pronouns, because this lesson is going to be dealing with pronouns. They're going to be telling us that the preposition li, which we had before, which means belongs to, like we say alhamdulillah, the praise belongs to Allah, they're telling us that this preposition li, when you connect it to pronouns, the kasra is going to change to fatha. So you're not going to say lihu, you're going to say lahu. You're not going to say liha, you're going to say laha, and so on, like this. Okay? Point number three is dealing with inda. We're going to contrast inda with a new meaning for inda. That we had inda in the previous lesson, but we're saying here now there's also another meaning for it. So we're going to look at that. And then the second point of this lesson is dealing with certain special nouns, words in Arabic. They call it Asma al-Khamsa. When they are in Idhafa, there's a special rule for them. We're going to look at that. That's not really that complicated. And then the first point of this lesson, the first point of the English key, are the possessive pronouns. That's really the core of this lesson. And we're going to be dealing with the possessive pronouns in this lesson, number 10. And in lesson number 11 is going to be a review lesson. So we're not going to have it in that lesson, anything new. Lesson number 12, 13, 14, and 15, we're going to deal with possessive pronouns. So possessive pronouns is something that we're going to be studying for the next six lessons. This lesson 10 through 15, we're going to be studying possessive pronouns. It's not complicated. It's just that in each lesson, we're going to take a little bit, little by little, of the possessive pronouns. So if we understand in this lesson number 10 what the possessive pronoun is and how it works, then inshallah, we're just going to continue adding new possessive pronouns, 10 of them, between this lesson and lesson 15. Okay, lesson 11 is a review. So in lesson 10, 12, 13, 14, and 15, we're going to have possessive pronouns, a little by little. In this lesson, we're going to take 4 of them, and then in the future lessons, we're going to take the remaining of them. There are 10 possessive pronouns, just like there are 10 personal pronouns. And we're going to take them, and we're going to compare the possessive pronouns to the personal pronouns. We're going to, the note that I sent to the class, those who are in our email list, if you're not in the email list and you would like to get the notes with this class, please, send us an email to the address that we normally use for homework assignments. And if you look up the page a little bit, you'll see it on the Mixler. You'll see our email address is mab93044@gmail.com. If anybody would like to join our class formally, officially, there's no charge or anything, but it just means that if we get your email address, we'll be sending you, notes from time to time and the homework assignments on a regular basis so you can keep up with us. So that's our email address, mab93044@gmail.com. So I sent out some notes today because I realized that we're going to be dealing with these possessive pronouns. And those notes refer to it as the attached pronouns. Damirun muttasilun, the attached pronoun. I mean, it's going to be attached to a clear noun or attached to a preposition or attached to something else. Okay, it's an attached pronoun. As opposed to the detached pronouns, damirun munfasilun. Detached pronouns means the ones that are not connected. Okay, we had all of those before. We had huwa, we had hiya, we had anta, we had anti, and then we had the plurals antum and antunna and hum and hunna. We had all of those detached pronouns before. They are known in Arabic as dhamirun munfasilun, detached pronouns. The ones that we're going to start taking now in this lesson 10 are the attached pronouns that are attached, attached to clear nouns or attached to prepositions and so on. So they are called dhamirun muttasilun, attached. Muttasil means attached, connected. Munfasil means detached or not unconnected. All right? So the chart that I sent to you, shows you the comparison, between the detached pronoun, like huwa, and the attached pronoun hu. Okay? The detached pronoun hum, and the attached pronoun is the same, hum. The detached pronoun hiya, and the attached pronoun that's equivalent to it is ha. Hunna and hunna is the same. Anta is ka. Antum is kum. Anti is ki. Antunna is kunna. Ana is ya al-mutakallam. The letter ya preceded by kasra. E, as in bayti, or in gurfati, or qalami or kitabi, meaning my book. And nahnu, its equivalent from the attached pronoun is na, is na, noon, fata, alif. So these pronouns are given on one side, the detached pronouns, on the other side, the equivalent attached pronouns. You have to learn these pronouns. We're going to be learning them over the next few weeks, from lesson 10 through 15, so you have plenty of time to learn them. But don't wait until we reach them. You can take this chart and memorize them now. The chart on one side has Arabic, and on the other side has English explanation. So basically what this chart is showing you, it's showing you, yani, if you look in the furthest column on either side, or right or left, on the right side you see غَائِبٌ, and on the left side you see third person. So everything in those four lines are going to be the third person pronouns. On the right side are going to be the detached pronouns, on the left side the attached pronouns. If you go down the next four lines, you have مُخَاطَبٌ on the far right column. يعني مُخَاطَبٌ. And the opposite on the left column, you see second person. So مُخَاطَبٌ means second person. And then you see again underneath there, far right side, مُتَكَلِّمٌ means first person. And you see it translated on the far left side, first person. So these expressions, غَائِبٌ, مُخَاطَبٌ, and مُتَكَلِّمٌ, represent third person, second person, first person. What is the first person? The first person is the speaker, the one who's speaking. Okay, I or my. The second person is the one who is being spoken to, مخاطب, the one who is being addressed, means you. It could be masculine, feminine, singular, plural, and so on. Okay, second person, the one who's being spoken to. The third person is the one who is being spoken about. So first person means the speaker, I. Second person is you, the one who's being spoken to, and third person is the one who we're speaking about. So you say, I am speaking to you about him or her. Okay, him or her are the third person. You is the second person. Again, it could be masculine, could be feminine, could be singular, dual, or plural. Alright? So this is how this chart is arranged. It also shows you, yani, the masculine form, مذكر, and the feminine form, مؤنث. And the غائب, in the next column from right, yani the second column over, you see مذكرٌ and مؤنثٌ. And you see that also for مخاطب, مذكرٌ, مؤنثٌ, masculine and feminine. And then you see for متكلم, you don't have a separate expression, you have مذكرٌ and مؤنثٌ is the same form. The translation of مذكرٌ and مؤنث is on the far left side, masculine and feminine, masculine and feminine, masculine and feminine. And then you also see, yani, the third column coming from the right side. غائبٌ is the far column. The next column in the middle is مذكر and مؤنث. And then you see مفردٌ and جمعٌ. And you see the translation of مفرد is singular on the other side. And the translation of جمعٌ is plural on the other side. Okay, so you have مفرد and جمع for masculine. And you have مفرد and جمع for feminine. And then when you go down to مخاطب, you have مفرد and جمع for masculine again, and مفرد and جمع for feminine. And then when you go down to متكلم, the first person, you have مفرد and جمع, and the form is the same for masculine and feminine. So please try to study this chart and try to memorize these terms. What you need to know, it looks like a lot on this chart, okay? And that's why we're going to study it little by little. We're not going to take them all at one time. But you need to see the full picture of these pronouns. And you need to contrast the attached pronouns that we're going to be learning now with the detached pronouns that we learned already. We already learned هو and he and أنت and أنت and نحنو and أنا. We already learned those. Now we want to learn the form that is for when it's attached to another noun showing possession. Okay, so if I wanted to say his book, I'm not going to say kitabu huwa. I have to use the attached form, hu. So I say kitabu hu. If I wanted to say her book, I'm not going to say kitabu hiya. I'm going to say kitabu ha, because I have to use the attached form. The attached form is used when we are showing possession. Her book, my book. If I want to say my book, I'm not going to say kitabu ana. No, I'm going to say kitabi, because ya al-mutakallam is the attached form that shows possession. Okay, so these pronouns may be divided into attached and detached, and they may also be divided into the detached pronouns or the personal pronouns. I, he, she, we, you, those are personal pronouns. The possessive pronouns are the attached pronouns, yani his book, her book, my book, your book, our book. Okay, so the personal pronouns means I, you, he and she, and the plurals. The possessive pronouns means my, your, his and hers, and then the plurals, yani ours and theirs and so on. So please try to study this chart. If you can't follow the chart, it becomes difficult for you, even if you look at the English meanings of first person, second person, third person, masculine, feminine, singular, and plural. There's also four lines that I crossed out here. I darkened them out because those are duals, and we're not going to deal with the duals, okay? So we'll deal with them in the future at some point, maybe in book two. But we're not going to deal with them now, so that's just extra, yani, work that you don't need to worry about right now. So I crossed them out, so don't worry about the four lines that are crossed out. Those are just the dual forms of the pronouns. But if you find that even without the duals, yani just the singular and plural, masculine and feminine, a first person, second person, third, if you find that it's overwhelming, then don't worry too much about the chart. We're going to be taking these pronouns little by little in the next 5 or 6 chapters. So you'll learn them gradually as you go along. Don't become overwhelmed. But the chart is just to give you an overview so you can see the whole thing all together. So I hope that the chart will help some of us. And if you find it overwhelming, leave it. Just discard it and don't worry about it. We're going to be taking them little by little and we'll be explaining them one by one as we go along. Okay. I know I've taken a lot of time to talk about this chart, and that's only because I want you to have some idea what we're talking about with these pronouns. The main thing, as I close out, the main thing that you're going to be paying attention to with the pronouns, and we're going to go into the English key next week. The main thing you want to know about pronouns is the pronouns that we learned already, the separate detached pronouns are the personal pronouns. Anna, anta, anti, huwa, and hiya. Singulars, and then the plurals. Nahnu, antum, antunna, hum, and hunna. Those ones that we learned already are the personal pronouns. I, you, he, she, we, yani, you all, they, and so on. Okay, those are the ones we learned already. What I want you to now is to, as we learn the new, yani, attached pronouns, the possessive pronouns, as you learn them, I want you to compare them and learn them, yani, learn them with the pronouns that you already learned before. So when we learned ka, I want you to remember that ka is the correspondent to anta, and hu is the correspondent to huwa. And ha corresponds to hiya, from the ones that we learned already. And e, as in kitabi, corresponds with ana, from the personal pronouns that we learned already. In this lesson, we're going to take 4 next week, inshallah. I want you to review them carefully for homework, preview them, and also read the rest of the English key and the Arabic text at the beginning of the lesson, and the first couple of exercises, inshallah, for homework. So, when you look at the pronouns, there are 3 considerations. The first consideration, am I using a pronoun for the first person, speaker? Second person, one being spoken to? Or third person, the one that we're speaking about? That's the first consideration. First person, second person, third person. The second consideration you're going to look at is the pronoun that I'm going to use, is it going to have to be masculine or feminine? Yani he or she. Masculine or feminine? You masculine or you feminine? That's the second consideration. Is it going to be masculine or feminine? The third consideration, is it going to be singular or plural? Yani he and she is going to be singular, and they and we is going to be plural, for example, right? So these are 3 things that you have to look at when you talk about pronouns. Number 1, first person, second person, third person. Number 2, is it masculine or feminine? And number 3, is it singular or plural? So as we learn the pronouns, I'm going to tell you this is a second person or a third person or first person. I'm going to tell you it's masculine or feminine. I'm going to tell you it's singular or plural. So I'm going to tell you 3 things. This is first person, second person, masculine, singular. Or I'm going to tell you second person, feminine, singular. Or I'm going to tell you it's third person, masculine, singular. Or third person, masculine, plural. Or third person, feminine, plural. I'm going to tell you 3 things. First, second, or third person, masculine or feminine, singular or plural. So as we learn, for next week, we're going to learn 4 pronouns. You need to know for each one of those pronouns. Ka, who, ha, and he, and e, I mean. You're going to have to know, yani, that ka is going to be for second person, masculine, singular. Right now, we're going to learn only singular pronouns. Okay, so that's easy. who is going to be for third person masculine singular, and ha is going to be for third person feminine singular. And e, ya al-mutakallam, is going to be first person, it's going to be used for masculine, and it's going to be used for feminine singular. Okay, so you have to know these three considerations when you look at pronouns. In this lesson 10, we're only going to take 4 pronouns out of the 10. And the next lesson we'll take, it's going to be a review lesson, so we're not going to have any new pronouns in that lesson. And then in lesson 12, we're going to have new pronouns. And then in 13 and in 14 and 15, we're going to have new pronouns. Okay, so please don't become overwhelmed. Inshallah, I'm going to explain the 9 points in this lesson next week, including the pronouns that we talked about today. We're going to talk about all of that slowly, one by one, and show the relation between different matters. And then, inshallah, we'll look at the Arabic text at the beginning of lesson 10 and a few of the exercises. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.